in the limelight.
Amid an energy crisis caused by the conflict in Ukraine, climate experts say November talks in Egypt must act on plans to limit global heating. We have prepared for you an article written by Fiona Harvey. The piece is titled, This is About Survival. Will COP27 bring action on Glasgow Climate Pact? When weary delegates stumbled out of the emptying halls of the Scottish Event campus into the chill of a Glasgow night last November, the mood was buoyant if exhausted. Workers in high visibility began dismantling stages and pulling down scaffolding as the departing representatives of nearly 200 countries exchanged weak high fives and wry grins. After 2 weeks of grueling climate talks, there was an outcome. The world had agreed at last to make concrete plans to limit global heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius. True, the deal reached in Glasgow was fragile. Most countries came to the COP26 climate summit without carbon-cutting plans of the level of stringency scientists said were needed. They left the talks with targets that would imply heating of about 1.9 degrees Celsius, a historic achievement compared to the 6 degrees Celsius of heating we were heading towards a decade ago, but still far off the 1.5 degrees Celsius, the figure scientists say is the threshold of safety. That left plenty to do in the months ahead. Alok Sharma, Britain's cabinet minister who presided over the COP26 summit, summed up the agreement soon after as one that was on life support. He wrote in The Guardian, the 1.5 degrees C limit lives. We brought it back from the brink, but its pulse remains weak. But the pace and brutality of the geopolitical changes since mid-November have been to a climate deal on life support, like a cluster bomb dropped on a hospital. In just 6 months, a world slowly recovering from a pandemic has been racked by war, which, in turn, has created chaos in energy markets, sent food prices surging and threatened shortages, raised inflation and the spectre of recession and unrest, and has upended geopolitical relations. Fossil fuel companies are enjoying a bonanza when they were supposed to be dying out. World leaders who 6 months ago were pledging net zero carbon emissions are now licensing new oil and gas drilling. Coal demand has surged and investors are sitting on scores of carbon bombs. High-stakes oil, gas and coal projects that, if followed through, would eliminate any hope of keeping to a 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature rise. It will be easy to think of the Glasgow climate deal and the chance of a 1.5 degrees Celsius limit as another casualty of the conflict in Ukraine. 6 months from now, the world will meet again for the next round of climate talks in Egypt, which is yet to set out a clear programme. Rachel Kite, Dean of the Fletcher School at Tufts University and a United Nations climate advisor, says the COP27 summit must focus on implementation. That means ensuring that the promises made in the Glasgow summit are not forgotten or fought over, but put into practice as swiftly as possible. Rachel Kite says, putting off tomorrow that which needs to be done today has come back to bite us. Decades of underinvestment in infrastructure, of too slow progress on protecting nature, faltering responses to rising inequality, undervaluing energy efficiency, now we find ourselves scrambling to swing away from fossil fuels, to ramp up renewable energies, respond to famine and food price shocks, and with inflation on the rise and economic growth stalling, and very little of the policy frameworks we need to make the transitions move smoothly at speed. 2021 was about ambition. 2022 is about following through. 30 years of climate negotiations have seen and weathered plenty of previous conflicts, and insiders say countries are practiced at keeping discussions under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the parent treaty to the Paris Climate Accord, separate from the other geopolitical upheavals. Outright hostility at the summit is unlikely. A worse danger is the indifference and love of the status quo experts fear countries are reverting to under cover of the conflict in Ukraine. For the countries that want progress, the key will be to keep international focus on the effects of the Ukraine crisis on national security in the developed world and of the climate crisis in the developing world, such as the record heat waves in India and Pakistan. Soaring energy prices as a result of the Ukraine war have prompted a rapid reappraisal of energy policies across the world, particularly in Europe. Before the conflict in Ukraine, Germany depended on Russia for about two-thirds of its gas supplies and the European Union for about 40% of its energy. The bloc's attempts to wean itself off these sources are likely to be painful in the short term, but have accelerated a move that needed to be made in the long term to reach the target of net zero emissions by 2050. According to Fatih Birol, Executive Director of the International Energy Agency, IEA, and one of the world's foremost energy economists, there are three clear answers to this energy crisis. Countries must seek to replace Russian fossil fuels in the short term by squeezing more out of their current supplies. Urgent measures such as turning down thermostats, imposing speed limits on cars, and installing home insulation must be taken to cut down on demand. And renewable energy must be ramped up fast by removing barriers such as planning problems and grid connections. Fatih Birol says, "I believe we have the chance to make this a historic turning point towards a cleaner and a more secure energy system. This is the first time I have seen such momentum behind change in the energy sector." However, this optimistic view depends on countries seizing the opportunities of renewable energies and ignoring the pleas of big oil. Fossil fuel companies have pledged to plough a proportion of their cash into clean energy, but many are just as likely to pour it into fresh extraction. The Guardian has uncovered nearly 200 examples of new fossil fuel projects now under development that, if brought to fruition, would result in a billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions, or about 18 years' worth of emissions at current levels. That would put paid to any hope of staying within the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit. While Europe appears to be moving towards cleaner energy, the United States is facing a continued logjam in Congress. Legislation proposed by President Biden, crucial to fulfilling the promises he made in Glasgow to reducing emissions, is stuck because of refusal of one Democratic senator, Joe Manchin, to agree. Nevertheless, the Biden administration is determined to push forward. John Kerry, the US Special Presidential Envoy on Climate Change, says, "I'm hopeful that in the next weeks, maybe Congress can be able to pass some kind of climate legislation, which will be helpful." President Biden is committed to moving forward, and obviously he has administrative powers and can issue certain executive orders and do certain things. Meanwhile, this year has already seen record heat waves in India and Pakistan that have caused widespread misery, disruption, damage to crops, and fears for people's health. These devastating events are happening at 1.2 degrees Celsius of global heating, and according to new research from the Met Office and the World Meteorological Organization, we are likely to see global temperatures top 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels within the next 5 years. That does not spell the end of the 1.5 degrees Celsius goal. Temperatures could overshoot the limit in some years without settling above it for the long term. But the conclusions are inescapable. The kind of disasters we're seeing in South Asia, the flooding in Australia and South Africa, and the droughts and wildfires in North America will rapidly become the norm, with consequences for humanity that will far outstrip the effects of any war yet experienced.